of this. So it's just a matter of time. So if you all would stand and turn over to 6:12, and we're going to sing America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious sky, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom be across the wilderness. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for heroes proof in liberating strife, who more than self their country love and mercy more than life. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Amen, amen. Can we, how about Brother Higgins? Would you pray for us this morning? Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for our country.
Yes.
Thank you for the freedom that we yet enjoy.
Yes. Thank you.
Your hand.
Yes.
I pray now this morning that you will bless in this service.
Yes.
I pray that everything that's said and done, every word that's spoken, every song that's sung, everything that's done, be according to your perfect will.
Yes.
If there be one here this morning, Lord, that does not know you, free pardon of sin, but they come this morning, know as they leave this place, that it's all settled.
Yes.
I just pray that your will be accomplished in every heart and life that's here this morning.
Yes, Lord.
We give you the honor and glory and praise for it all. In Christ's name we ask you.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's see. Our new pastor will be preaching his first message from our new pulpit this morning. Praise God. Amen. So we're happy about that this morning. The only other announcement I have is the ladies will be meeting after next Sunday's morning service. And so if all the ladies would stay after next Sunday's service. And there will be an announcement in the bulletin for next week also. So, all right, amen. How about if we have our scripture reading? Do we have our scripture reading this morning?
Good morning, church.
Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. All right, let's turn over to number 621. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my soul. Since Jesus came into my soul, since Jesus came into my soul. There's a joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from the wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which are many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to 420 for our offering hymn. And would you all stand for that? 420. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothing mortal, wings is fly to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Amen, amen. Brother Roger, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we again thank you so much for your many blessings. Quiet our hearts today as your words preach. We would ask that George, you break open the bread of life to us, and hearts and minds will be tuned to your word.
Yes.
We again thank you so much for the missionaries and for the support, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word, Lord, our Father. Amen. We pray for all the families that are represented here today.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that there's one person here alone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They will come today and make a public profession of that. But we also thank you for this offering. Bless it not only to further the gospel here at our church, but throughout the world, other spirits preach.
Yes.
Bless those who are sick, Lord, continue to watch over them.
Yes, Lord.
Bless those who are traveling, give them traveling mercy. We thank you so much for dying for us.
Yes.
Shedding our blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Almost missed a few there. All right, let's see. Do we have any specials? Any other specials? No. Oh yes, that is right. We can't let Ziphron get away without us singing happy birthday to him, can we? Where's Ziphron? Where is he? You gonna go get him? Amen. How old is Ziphron turning today? Six, big six. He's not a kindergartner anymore. I'm from Colorado. I used to say kindergarten all the time. That's just how we used to say it. I was wrong, but everybody knew what you were talking about. So, yeah. Amen. How about other birthdays? Anybody else have a birth? Let me look. I think I got the bulletin here. It should be in here. Let's see. Nobody wants to own up to it, so let me see if I can find it here. Nancy. No, not that Nancy. Oh, Nancy Boyce. She's not here this morning. We got to find out where Nancy's at. She's got a drink. We shouldn't have sent his little sister, his big sister after him. Mary, who's not here. Brother Joe is not here. Hey, but we have Brother Raul and Sister Margaret's anniversary. They're here. Amen. Amen. And Romel and Nancy. This other Nancy, our piano player. We got a few Nancys and a few Davids. And so, well, let's sing happy birthday to Ziphron. Ziphron. Okay. Amen. Ready? Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Amen. Amen. Now we'll sing happy anniversary to these two couples here who are happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. How many years is there, Brother Raul? 54 years. Wow. So, amen. You're blessed. I know you feel that way. I don't know about her, but no, she does. I'm sure she does. Amen. Romel, you're in trouble. I know you're 27. Amen. He knew. It feels like 50. Amen. Amen. 27 years. That's wonderful. All right. I think Brother Johnny has a song for us this morning. So we'll have Brother Johnny come up. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I want to tell you something this morning before I sing. You know, when I sin against God, the windows of blessings are temporarily closed. But when I acknowledge my sin, I humble my heart, I go to the throne of grace, and I ask for mercy and forgiveness. But my adversary, Satan, he's right there. He pointing the finger of accusation, bringing along with him guilt, shame, and discouragement. But you know what? The precious Holy Spirit assures me not only have I been forgiven, but I've been restored. Please. And Satan, he's a lost fight, but he's still gonna mess with me. Amen. And all those who belong to God. Amen. Now listen. Satan said, this time you've done it. Johnny, you've gone too far. How could the Lord receive you now when you're ruined and scarred over something deep down inside of me?
says, child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So child, just come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for, now more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine when I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child of the King. I thought about the years that I wasted as I walked the long lost way. Yes, I rehearsed time and time all the words that I would say. Now when I finally reached my last long hill, and my Jesus, now I will see. Oh, he's running with his arms open wide in love just to welcome me. He gave me more than I ever asked for. Oh, now more than I ever dreamed, now more than I could imagine when I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, now he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child of the King. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, Lord, just make me one of your servants, but he made me a child, oh yes he did, of heaven. Yes he did, Pastor, yes he did. I'm the child of, I got royalty in my blood now. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm no longer a Paul.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Nothing else for me to say. Come on up, brother. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jesus. Good morning, everybody. Well, today is a very special day for me. Not only because it's 4th of July, but it is my first message as you have called me to pastor you. It's a very special day. You notice that there is a new pulpit. There's a couple of changes that's going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen, the first thing that's going to change is absolutely nothing. And then we're going to change nothing. And then later on, we're going to change absolutely nothing. I made you nervous, huh? Why change if there's nothing wrong with it? Why change the book if there's nothing wrong with the book? Joshua chapter number 20. Please stand with me in honor of God's word. Joshua chapter number 20. Other churches can change. That's fine. We're not going to change. Yeah. Other religions, politicians can change. For all I know, this country can change. But the church ought not to change. Yeah. Joshua chapter number 20, in thinking about what type of message, what sort of message I should preach, being it my first day as a pastor, a question that you might have is, what direction are you taking our church into? What direction? What are we going to do from here on out? I was asking God to lead me to a text that will answer that struggle that I had, into what direction should I take our church. And God led me to this text of Joshua chapter number 20. Just read along with me. Looking at verse 1, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge. I want you to underline those phrases. Cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge, underline that word refuge, from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into that city unto them and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. Verse 5 says, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest, underline that phrase, that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Look at verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. I call this message, let the church be a city of refuge. Let's pray. Father, hide me behind the cross, a sinful man that's not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. It's not worthy to open your holy word. I pray, Lord God, that you empower me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the clarity of mind and speech and of heart that I may minister to your congregation this morning. I pray, Lord God, that as we learn from the book of Joshua and determine the direction into which our church will be going into, may your Holy Spirit speak this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text this morning, I want to approach it first historically and textually, and then we are going to discuss this text doctrinally, and then we are going to approach this text spiritually, and then finally practically. That's how I prepare my messages. Now, the book of Joshua, look at the text. Joshua was commanded by Moses to appoint what he called cities of refuge. Go to Exodus chapter 21, verse 13. Exodus chapter 21, verse 13. Moses had commanded his people, and specifically Joshua, to appoint certain cities. Go to Exodus chapter 21, verse 13. Exodus says, and if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. There's this designated place, there's this appointed place that God had told Moses to appoint. Go to our next text will be in Numbers chapter number 35, and we'll see the textual and historical background of the cities of refuge. Numbers chapter 35. Look at verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, look at verse 11, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. And it gives you the purpose of the cities of refuge. The Bible says that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. If you look at this text, you will find the source of our current criminal law. Our current judicial system is based on the Bible. If you look at this text, you'll see there's a difference between a murderer and a person that's guilty of a manslaughter. You look at verse 15 and 16 says, And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. So the purpose of the city of refuge is that the land may not be polluted, according to verse 33. You see, the Bible says that life should be paid with a life, and a tooth should be paid with a tooth. I believe in capital punishment. I believe that, as a matter of fact, the reason why our country is so messed up is because we don't punish sin. If you look at verse 33, you're saying, well, Brother George, you're just saying that out of your own experiences. No, sir, no, ma'am. It's biblical. You look at verse 33, so shall ye not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. See, there are people that do not believe in capital punishment. But the Bible says that if you are guilty of murder, you deserve to die. You deserve to die. See, but the difference between murder and manslaughter is this. The Bible says if you are... look at verse 17 of Numbers 35. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherein he may die, he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Look at verse 19. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. You see, the Bible says, and here's how the Mosaic law worked. If you kill somebody premeditatedly, deliberated in committing that murder, the Bible says that you deserve to die. See, the definition of murder is the premeditated and deliberated and unlawful killing of another man. That's murder. See, but not every taking away of life can be considered murder. Sometimes you accidentally kill somebody, and the Bible says that is not murder, that is manslaughter. But we have a just God who has provided a way, a city of refuge for those who have accidentally killed someone. You look at verse 21 of our text in Numbers 21. Or an enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. But if you look at verse 22, he makes a distinction. But what about when you kill somebody without malice? The Bible says, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight. In other words, there's no malice, there's no premeditation, there's no deliberation. Do you then deserve to die? So there's that difference between a murderer and a person that's guilty of a manslaughter. In our American judicial system, the court distinguishes first-degree murder from second-degree murder to voluntary manslaughter to involuntary manslaughter. And that all comes from this text. See, a person is guilty of murder, like I said, once there is deliberation and there's a premeditation or there is malice aforethought. If you plan to kill somebody, you thought about it in your head, there's intent in your heart, the Bible says, and then you go ahead and kill that person, you are guilty of murder and you deserve to die. But manslaughter is different. Manslaughter, the Bible gives an example. If you were just holding an axe and the axe head flies out of your axe and kills somebody, are you then guilty of murder? The Bible says, no, you did not think ahead. There was no malice there. There was no premeditation. There was no deliberation. What then? What is the solution? What has God provided for the people for the Israelites? So God then tells Moses, you shall take cities of refuge. You shall appoint cities so that when the manslaughterer, the person who has killed somebody without premeditation, that person may go into that city. Look at verse 24 of our text. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. You see, in the Old Testament, if you kill somebody, the family members of the person that you killed had all the right to kill you back, to kill you. If you killed my brother, I have the right to kill you. If you kill me, my brother will go after you. That's how that worked. Or a relative or a brother or a son or a cousin or a father has the right to take away your life if you killed somebody. That's how the Old Testament worked. But the problem that they had is there are accidents that happen. When you didn't even think about killing that person, it just happened. You could be driving on the freeway. Something falls down and you went to pick up that phone and you hit somebody accidentally. That's not murder. That's vehicular manslaughter. Do you then deserve to die too? And in your head and in your mind, you know for a fact that you don't deserve to die. You did not mean it. But you see, God is a God of provision. God always provides something for us. In this text, He has provided cities of refuge. Look at verse 25. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it. The condition was, if you had killed somebody without premeditation, you shall go into one of these six cities, and the people in the congregation in that city will protect you from the slayer of blood. And the only thing that freed the person that is guilty was the death of the high priest. So that man that was guilty of manslaughter had to stay in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest. That man could not leave that city. The Bible says that if he is found outside of the walls of that city and the slayer of blood finds him outside of the wall of that city, he may be killed without repercussion. Think about that. Think about the Old Testament law. Look at verse 27. The revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge. The revenger of blood can kill the slayer, and he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in that city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. Now in Joshua chapter number 20, God has appointed six cities that are strategically located, three on the east and three on the west, that if anyone had committed manslaughter, a city of refuge was accessible to him or her. By the way, I don't think it's necessary for you to see that just as the cities of refuge were available to everyone that were guilty, and so is our city of refuge available to everyone that believe. Second thing that we learn about the cities of refuge in Joshua chapter number 20 is that these cities were often found in mountains. If you go to chapter 20, chapter 20 of Joshua, if you look at verse 7 with me. Just be patient. Let me establish our historical and textual background here. Joshua chapter number 20, verse 7. Look at verse 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in what? In Mount Naphtali. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim. And Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Here's the second characteristic of the cities of refuge. Not only were they accessible to everybody, but they were lifted up. They were visible to men. That you need not get, you don't get lost when you're looking for a city of refuge. You know for a fact where the city of refuge is. If you're committed manslaughter, you're not going to get lost in looking for the cities, because they're lifted up. They're higher. They're up on mountains. I'm reminded of the text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's your historical context and the textual context. To give you an example of how this city of refuge operated in the Old Testament, if you remember in 2 Samuel, when Abner, one of the generals of King Saul, kills Asahel in battle. You remember that story? Abner kills Asahel in battle. Joab kills Abner. And then David curses Joab in return. If you study that text in 2 Samuel, you'll find the reason why David cursed Joab. And David tells King Solomon to kill Joab in the end. You know why? If you study that text, you'll find that after Abner kills Asahel, he goes into the city of Hebron. Well, Hebron is one of the cities of refuge. When he goes into the city of refuge, Joab lies waiting for him there. And Joab kills Abner within the city of refuge, which was against the law. Abner was supposed to be protected from the manslayer, from the revenger of blood. And yet Joab goes around and kills Abner in revenge for killing his brother Asahel. And then later on you'll find David telling Solomon to kill Abner and to curse his house and his descendants for breaking the law. Now doctrinally we can study all that text for factual reasons, but doctrinally you'll see that Joshua was a type of Jesus Christ. And the cities of refuge is a type of our Messiah. You see, Joshua's ministry was a continuation of the ministry of Moses. If you find in Joshua, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Look at this text. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Here's the doctrinal application. Now that we've seen the textual and historical context of the city of refuge, let's look at the doctrinal application of this. You see, Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8 with me. When I was studying this lesson, I was amazed how God has clarified my understanding of this concept of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, look at this. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? That if you look at that word, it uses the word, the name Jesus. But you see, that's in the Greek. See, the Greek word Jesus in this text that is translated as Jesus is Iesus. Now, if you go back to the Hebrew, not that I'm fond of Hebrew and Greek, because I believe that the King James Bible is clearer than the Hebrew and the Greek. But there's a lesson that I learned here. Joshua chapter 1, if you realize, the name Joshua was originally Hosea, which meant salvation. Later on, Moses changes the name Joshua into Yehoshua. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 16, which meant Yahweh is salvation. And the name Joshua in Hebrew is then translated in Greek into Jesus, which is properly translated Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Now, in other versions of the Bible, you'll find this name Jesus removed and changed into the name Joshua. And they are in error for doing so. See, you're going to miss the context of this. If you change the Word of God, you'll miss everything that the Bible is trying to talk about. Here's the doctrinal application of this. Jesus Christ is the New Testament Joshua. If you do not understand that, you'll miss the point of in Hebrews let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8 again. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest. Now there are other versions, and most versions of the Bible change the word Jesus into Joshua. And their argument is, well, the word Jesus in Greek was Joshua in Hebrew. That's true. But by changing Jesus into Joshua, you're missing the message. And the message is this, that just as Joshua has rescued Israel and has led Israel into the promised land, Jesus Christ, the New Testament Joshua, will be the one that will usher in the millennial kingdom. That's the doctrinal application of this text. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 19 and 16, the Bible says that Joshua was not able to bring rest unto the nation of Israel. And rightfully so, because after Joshua has led Israel into the promised land, there was no rest. As a matter of fact, the ministry of Joshua was characterized by battles and wars. There was no rest for Israel. After they had entered the promised land, there was no rest for Israel. Under the leadership of Joshua, there was war and battles, and it never stopped. Until now, there is battle in the Middle East that still has not stopped. But you see, that rest does not come until the New Testament Joshua has returned the second time. There will be no peace on earth until Jesus Christ, the Joshua of New Testament, establishes His kingdom on earth. That is the doctrinal application of this text. But then again, we can make a historical study and a textual study or a doctrinal study of this text. But if there is no spiritual application, and if there is no practical application that can be applied to the life of the Christian and to the life of the church, we may be wasting our time. But here is the spiritual application. In setting the spiritual tone of the direction of this church, we need to be reminded, number one, that we are guilty of murder. You may argue, well, Brother George, I've never killed anyone. I've never murdered anyone to be guilty of murder, to be charged with murder. But I cannot tell you that you are guilty. You and I are guilty of killing the Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who bare our sin in His own body, whose stripes we are healed. Yes, you may not be guilty of killing somebody, but you and I are guilty of killing the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. See, He did not deserve to die. We deserve to die, but we are the ones that put Him on the cross. We are guilty of murder. You may argue, Brother George, I've never killed anyone in my life, but we have killed the Messiah. Secondly, you don't need to kill someone to be guilty of murder. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. If you think that you are not guilty of murder because you have not killed anyone, look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. Look at what the Bible says. I need to hurry for the sake of time. I appreciate you being here on the 4th of July weekend where you could be having some time with your family for barbecue or out of town, but I appreciate you being here. So I'm aware of your time. I'm sensitive of your time. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 20. The Bible says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. You see, you don't need to kill somebody to be guilty of murder. You just need to hate someone to be guilty of murder. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, look at this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, are you still okay? Amen. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So you're telling me you're not guilty of murder? Have you ever hated someone without a cause? Have you ever hated a brother or a sister in the church, and yet you claim that you're not guilty of murder? Let me tell you, we are all guilty of murder. But thirdly, understand that not only have we murdered the Messiah, not only are we guilty of murder, but Christ paid the sacrifice for our murder. 1 John 1, 7 says, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 39 says, by Him all that believe are justified from all things. Amen. Oh yes, we are guilty, but Christ paid the sacrifice for our murder. But practically, you're going to ask me, which direction are we going with this church? Here's the direction. We need to be reminded of our condition, of our past condition, and our present condition. That it is only by grace that we are here. It is only by grace that you're still able to come Sunday after Sunday. It is only by grace that you are saved today. It is only by grace that if God had not provided a city of refuge in Himself, in His Son Jesus Christ, you will not be here. What direction are we going with this church? The direction is this. We have to make our church, we have to grasp this concept that Christ was our city of refuge, and this church must be a city of refuge. You see, in that city of refuge, the avenger of blood could not come in to condemn you and I of our sin. In that city of refuge, there is the great high priest whose death frees, brings freedom for us. If you look at that city of refuge, everyone in that city of refuge, especially the city of Hebron, they were all guilty. Everyone that came to King David, they were all guilty. They were vagabonds. They were sinners. They were criminals. And King David brought them into that city of refuge with that understanding that none of them are worthy to be a part of that city of refuge. If I have a concept of a church, my concept of a church is that of a place where there is an understanding that we are only here by the grace of God. My concept of a church is a place where there's an acknowledgement that God is the one that brought us here. That God has provided this place for us to move away from the condemnation of the devil, from the condemnation of because of our sin. My concept of a church is a city of refuge where men and women are free to come guilty of some sin in the past, but freed by the death of the high priest. My concept of a church is that of a city of refuge where there is no more condemnation from within the church. oftentimes in the church, Christendom and Christianity has created a culture where those that have been saved for a while, those that are educated, those that are affluent, those that give more in tithes and offering are lifted up, and the ones that are unable to do so are condemned. Oftentimes in the church, people who are not dressed right are condemned. Oftentimes in the church, those who have committed sin are condemned. Oftentimes in the church, those who don't look right, who don't look the same, who don't act the same, who don't talk the same, are not welcome. But can I remind you that just as God in the Old Testament has provided a city of refuge for everyone that was guilty, the church ought to be a city of refuge. The church ought to be a place where everyone could come without condemnation. The church ought to be a place where everyone could come to be healed. The church ought to be a place where everyone that come are thankful and are gracious for the mercy of God that has bestowed, that we have received. There is no other way. There is no other way for the direction of the church but to be a church that understands that concept of a city of refuge. See, this place is not a place for perfect people. There is no perfect church. The moment you find a perfect church, leave that church because you're making it imperfect. Amen? It's true. We joke about that. But with all seriousness, think about it. Each and every one of you that are here in this congregation this morning, you're not here because of your own righteousness. Each and every one of us that is in this congregation this morning have committed some kind of sin in the past. Each and every one of us in this congregation this morning is not worthy of the grace of God. The only reason why we are here is because God has provided a city of refuge, a church of refuge, a savior of refuge. What type of church are we going to be this year? What type of church do you want to be? What type of church do I want to pastor? I want to pastor a church that welcomes sinners, that forgives the offender, that loves and cares for the ones that are within that city of refuge. My question to you is, number one, have you been freed by the great high priest? Was there a time in your life when you have acknowledged your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ to be your great high priest? If you've never reached that point in your life, my brother, the Bible says, he that believeth on him, there's no more condemnation, but he that believeth not on him is condemned. But John chapter 3 verse 17 says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. If you've never come to Jesus Christ this morning, let me tell you, your life is condemned. If you are not saved today, I'm telling you, that guilt will stay on you. That sin will stay on you. That penalty for sin, you may think you're getting away with it, but it's just a matter of time when the Bible says your sin will find you out. But I'm thankful to God that we have a great high priest whose death and through whose death I have been freed. You want to talk about 4th of July? The freedom? Well, there is a greater freedom that you can obtain. Apart from the freedom that this country celebrates on the 4th of July, there is a greater freedom. And that is the freedom from the condemnation of the devil, and it is freedom from sin through Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is a reason, if there is a reminder for us to celebrate this 4th of July, it is not from the freedom from the Church of England or from England or from Great Britain, but freedom from our sin, freedom from the penalty of our sin. That is the true thing that I wish you would celebrate this weekend. And thank God for that true freedom that is in Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A short message. My question is, as the piano plays, as we sing an altar call, my question is, you voted me on to be your pastor. Would you be a part of this city of refuge, of bringing the guilty in? Would you be a part of this city of refuge in introducing that sinner to the great high priest? Would you be a part of the city of refuge where there is no condemnation? Would you be a part of the city of refuge that sets people free from their sin? Would you be a part of this city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ? Are you saved this morning? And if you are a church member, would you pray with me to make our church a city of refuge for the lost world? Please stand on your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you pray with me this morning? My prayer to God that our church will be a city of refuge that introduces people to the great high priest. Please pray with me this morning that God will make our church a city of refuge for the lost. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar is open. What verse is that, Brother David? Please turn your hymnal to hymn number
491. 491. We'll sing one verse of this song, then we'll be dismissed.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness will see. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord God, for this message. I pray, Lord God, that I have conveyed your word clearly, simply, and heartfully. I pray, Lord God, that you help us as a church as we take this next journey, this next step into our future of this church. Lord God, may we as a church grasp this concept of making a church, our church, a city of refuge for this community. A city of refuge for those that are lost outside. A city of refuge for those that are guilty outside. May they find refuge in this place. May they find love and no condemnation in this place. Yes. For Father, we are reminded of your Son, Jesus Christ, who had become our city of refuge. Thank you, Lord God, for your congregation, for their patience, for their love, and for their support. May you bless the rest of this weekend, Lord God. I pray for those that are traveling afar with their families, that are spending time out of town. I pray, Lord God, that you keep them safe and you bring them back to us on Wednesday for the evening service and on Sunday. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for the men and women that have sacrificed for the freedom of this country. Thank you, Lord God, for this country, for the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. Help us to be grateful for it, and help us to be thankful, and help us to do our part with gratitude for the freedom that you have given us in this country. But more importantly, Lord God, help us to be grateful for the freedom that comes from you, the freedom from sin, the freedom from the penalty of sin. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. May you dismiss us with your blessing. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Everybody rise. Oh.